Well, good morning to all of you. Very happy you're here. I'm sorry I can't really get my composure here. I've just watched the preschoolers go down the steps there, and I caught Brother Chris, he and Wendy have them this morning, and I said, well, Chris, are you ready for an adventure? And so he looked up, and there's a little boy kind of crawling around the corner there. It looked like he's about to crawl down the steps, and he said, looks like it, looks like it. So, you know, while we're up here, there are those down there who are just really serving God. I mean, they are serving down there. So, anyway, thank the Lord for them. Well, you know, we know a little bit about what's going on here in this little area of the world, within these walls right now. But what we don't think about sometimes is that all around the world, the Spirit of God is right now working. And at this moment, he is drawing people in China to himself. He's drawing people in Africa to himself. He's drawing people in the Middle East to himself, drawing people in the far north to himself. And God's Spirit is out there everywhere just arranging for people to be saved and getting the gospel to them right now. Missionaries are going out and they're establishing pioneer works in different places. But, you know, we should never forget that when those missionaries go out there to work, God has already been there. He's been there all the time, and he's been talking to people and drawing people to himself. And I like to periodically let you hear from someone who has been drawn to Christ. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We are blessed to have a man, actually a family, here with us today. Who are from the Middle Eastern country of Lebanon. And Lebanon has had one of the more fascinating histories of any country in the world. I mean, you can find Lebanon way back in the Old Testament. The best friend of King David was the king of Lebanon. His name was Hiram. And so their history goes way, way, way back in the Bible. And we're going to hear the story of Brother Nick Schvetti, who was a businessman in Lebanon. He ended up in the United States. And I have promoted this for some little while because I wanted you to be here today. And Brother Nick, you should have heard your story the way I told it. Sometimes the way I get my details all confused and everything, it's really more interesting the way I tell it probably than it is when you hear the truth of it. So anyway, you folks, if you will, disregard everything I've said about this story. Brother Nick's going to come and share it himself. So, Brother, I notice you're a good Baptist, and you've sat back on the back. And so go ahead and make your way on up, if you will. Brother Nick's taking this opportunity to set a bad example. He is a Sunday school teacher at Bethel Baptist Church down near Savannah in Richmond County. And so we're very happy to have him today. And as I thought about this, you folks already know this man's family or a portion of it. You know his son, Sam. You know his daughter, Tina. And this is Brother Nick. And just very, very excited to have you with us here today. I want you to tell us the story of how you got saved. And just let us enjoy it with you, if you will, brother.
God bless you so much. I appreciate that. Thank you. Pastor Miles told you before.
I guess I'm on right now. Well, he told me before I came here that I had a whole hour to share my testimony.
Yes, amen. Right.
Anyway, thank you so much. I appreciate this invitation. We love this church so much, even if we're not members of it. You know, the best part of our family comes here. Now, they're happy. It was a great day when we were able to find you on the internet. And when I asked Sam and Tina to start coming here to try it out, and I'll tell you something. I don't know what Brother Matt does to them, but, brother, they're in love with you. And I mean brotherly love. We have to be careful these days. But anyway, it is such a pleasure to be here today. You know, yes, people do get saved abroad. And while Pastor Miles was saying about people being used overseas, you know, one of the most shut-out countries in the world is Saudi Arabia. But I know people who got saved in Saudi Arabia. Amen. Nobody can shut the door before Jesus Christ. Jesus can be everywhere and anywhere. We're not the ones that call the shots. He does. But anyway, I am happy to be here. I will try to do the best I can. Now, I don't know if it's ever happened to you. You dream a dream that is awful. It's like you have to go catch a flight, or you have to go to work or to school, and something is stopping you. You're not able to do it. Well, I had an awful dream last night. I had a dream that I got the wrong shoes with me. And here I am. I wake up this morning and say, do I have the right shoes or the wrong shoes? Well, guess what? I have the wrong shoes with me. So I have the walking shoes. I'm glad I don't have the running shoes. I would have to run down the aisle. You know? But I just had to walk. But anyway, God has a sense what's the word I'm looking for? Humor. Thank you. You know, when you speak 3-4 languages, sometimes you start thinking, okay, on, off, it's kind of, but anyway, it's not that bad. I'll show you my shoes on the way out. They're not that bad. I hope there's no connect between the speaking capability and what you hide your toes with. I think we'll do fine. Okay, well, although this is my testimony, actually it's also my wife's testimony, because praise the Lord, we got saved the same day, the same time, the same place. And that is one of the greatest blessings in my life, is for me to have come to the altar with my precious wife and knelt the knees right there asking Jesus to save our souls. But anyway, although it is our testimony, it is all about Jesus Christ and His grace and His love for each and every one of us. And I'd like to say with the Apostle Paul this morning, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but not I, Christ liveth in me. For those of you who are born again, you understand exactly where I'm coming from. My story started, well, now you're going to know my age, that's dangerous, but that's okay. Started in August of 1964 in a country called Senegal, not Lebanon. I was born in West Africa. I was born of Lebanese parents. My dad is Greek Orthodox, which is the Eastern Catholic Church, and my mother is Roman Catholic. So basically, I was born and raised in a nominal Christian home that believed that salvation was by works. So you have to work your way to heaven. In 1972, that's 8 years later, we moved to Lebanon to join the rest of our family. Well, 3 years later, in 1975, a civil war breaks out in Lebanon between the Christian or nominal Christian population on one side against the Muslim population on the other. Now, the Israel was backing the Christians, and Syria and the Palestinians were backing the Muslims. Thousands upon thousands, I guess I can say above 100,000 people were killed in a period of 17 years, and the country was a total destruction. In 1982, at the age of 18, I was drafted into the Christian Lebanese forces to fight the invading Syrian army. It was an unbalanced fight. It was a 5-to-1 type war. And I was involved in combat for 15 months. And our boys were coming up, were coming back in plastic bags every single day. And the Christians were losing at the time. We were outnumbered and wouldn't have the money and the people and the resources to fight the fight. But we did it anyway. Anyway, it was hard on my folks. They did anything possible they could. My dad, his first cousins, actually his uncles, came to the U.S. back in the early 1900s. And actually, my dad has a first cousin that was killed in the Second World War over Germany. But to make a long story short, by God's providence, I was able to leave and come to my beloved America in October of 1983, almost 30 years ago. And it was God's plan for me to come to Boston. And that's where I got my college education. And that's where my life, my new life in the States, started 30 years ago. Well, I want to take you back again to my childhood. God used a verse in my mind continuously, day after day. And it's a verse we all know. Maybe it never struck you, but I'll tell you what, it spoke to my heart continuously. Beautiful words. The Lord said in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And these words kept coming back to me. And you know, as someone who is working to reach heaven, you never have assurance of eternal life. Actually, it's a blasphemy for a Catholic to say that I am saved and I'm 100% sure I'm going to heaven, and once saved, I'm always saved. It was sort of a blasphemy. But what I did, because I needed to gain my way to heaven, is be the best teenager possible. Actually, when I came to Boston and found a group of Catholic friends just like me, they called me the monk, because I was trying to behave and I was trying to be the kind of guy that would earn God's acceptance. So I gained my friends' acceptance and admiration. Now it was for me to gain God's acceptance, because that's who I had in mind. I wanted to be one of His sheep, but I never had the assurance that I had reached that point yet. Well, little did I know that slowly but surely, self-righteousness was creeping in. And my God became me. And pride took care of me. Until God said, "Okay, it is time to show you who is Lord and who is God." Teenagers, young adults, and I'm after my children every day. College could be the greatest trap for young men and young women, for young boys and young girls. And it was a trap for me. Anyway, I slowly slipped into youthful lusts, just like most do. So at the age of 22, after a few months, I look back and I say, what did I do? All the good works that I had assembled could do nothing to the fear that crept into my heart. All of a sudden, I realized there's nothing I can do to get rid of sin in my life. All I knew was work, but now I was sure that work would take me nowhere. Well, there was nobody for me to share my pain with. I was alone. And I went into depression. And it was hard. It was very hard. I was a man who fell in a hole. If you don't know what I'm talking about, visit your website. You'll know exactly what I'm saying. I happened to see this 2 days ago, preacher. I had already put together this testimony. Well, the testimony is already there. I just wanted to organize my thoughts. And I looked at it and said, that was me in that hole. What a tremendous video that is. If you haven't seen it, go see it. A few months later, and I'm glad it was just a few months, it wasn't years, I was driving along in Boston, and all of a sudden, I don't know if it was a vision, it was a thought, but while I was behind the wheels, I see Jesus crucified on the cross. And I hear a small, still voice asking me, Nick, why did Jesus die on the cross? You know what? I didn't have the answer. I didn't know why Jesus died on the cross. But at that point in time, I knew that the answer to that question was what I was looking for. I started crying and crying. And I had to pull over because I couldn't see anymore. My eyes were watering so much. I had to pull over. I finished the crying. But then the hope came in. There was a smile after that. People watching me that day maybe thought I was crazy or something. This guy goes from weeping to smiling and laughing. But I knew there was something. There was a light at the end of the tunnel. And that was not a freight train coming towards me. That was something that was real and that was true. The first thing I did is I went to a person that was witnessing to me. And I said, "Michael, do you have a Bible for me?" Nobody had to teach me anything. I said, "I need the Bible." And being born in Senegal, my first language actually is French. So my first Bible was French. and I still have it. And Tina took it away from me. But anyway, that Bible, I started reading, and I was reading and reading and reading. I wasn't understanding much, but I was reading. But I was taking bits and pieces, and they were piling up in my heart and in my mind. And one day, I said, Lord, I want to get close to You. I want a girl that is looking for You just like I am looking for You. 1 week later, God introduced me to my wonderful, beautiful, great wife, a God-fearing girl that was looking also for a God-fearing boy. Well, we decided to get married, and we promised the Lord the following. We said, Lord, and we were still unsaved. We said, Lord, we will read the Bible every evening together for 15 minutes. We promise You we will do that from day one. And we did. And we kept the promise. But you know, you can't be more faithful than the Lord. So what happened at the same time, Pastor Tom Morrell of Dallas, Texas, joined the company I worked for. And I told you God has a sense of humor. He puts him in the cubicle next to mine. But everybody was saying, he's a born-again Christian. He's a born-again Christian. And I had never heard the term born-again Christian. And they started saying this about him even before he showed up. So I was thinking this is going to be a guy who has a shaved head with two horns and a long robe coming into work. But I look at him, there's nothing different in this guy. So my curiosity was raised that day is I want to know what that born-again business is all about. Remember, I have fear of hell. At that point in time, I had fear of hell. So I go to him, and just imagine yourself in the cubicle as a born-again Christian who is serving the Lord, and somebody coming to you. And that was me going to him that day. And I said, my friend, colleague, people say that you're a born-again Christian. What's the difference between you and me? I read the Bible every day. He says, well, let me ask you a question. Are you 100% you're going to heaven? As a good Catholic, that's blasphemy. I said, how can I be? He said, well, Nick, I'm sorry to tell you. If you're not 100%, you're going to heaven. That means you're not. I could barely stand on my feet that day. I almost crumbled. One thing I did not tell you is when I was in deep depression, I was afraid to get off bed every morning because I would look down and see hell waiting for me. When he said that, I couldn't take it. I said, Tom, what are you talking about? I am reading, my wife and I are reading the Bible every night. We promised God we would do that. He said, that's the greatest thing you're doing. Keep doing it. But come to me every morning and let's discuss what you read and I'll explain to you if there's something you don't understand. My brothers and sisters, it happened for a few months. And every single day I was being fed slowly but surely. We learned about patience this morning in our Sunday school class and waiting for the Lord. It's God, it's the Lord who waits for us too. He was waiting for me and for Nyla to get fed slowly but surely to understand that there's a need in my life. And finally, I heard the answer to why Jesus had to go to the cross and be crucified. The Bible says, for without shedding of blood, there's no remission. And we sang the blood this morning. And that was the song I heard the day I got saved. There's power in the blood. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. That's what the Bible says. For the first time I heard that by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works that any man should boast. It's not of works. And when he said that, I said, yuppie! Because I know that. I tried it. It doesn't work. He says, Nick, Jesus did it all on the cross. He was a preacher and had to work because his church was small. In 6 months of witnessing to me and my wife, he never one day said, come to church. I don't know why. It was me who came to him and said, Tom, is it okay if my wife and I came to church? I was ripe or what? He said, yeah, it's all right. And that church was praying fervently for us all those 6 months. January 13th, 1991, Sunday morning, my wife and I go to Open Door Baptist Church. I tell you what, that door was open for us. And I pray that Crooked Creek will always have an open door, first before the Lord and second before those who need Christ. And we went in that morning, and I could not wait to run to the altar. I had no idea what altar call meant, what invitation meant. But I'll tell you what, I needed no invitation that day. My wife and I ran together and surrendered and became the children of God. And I told Jesus, "Amen, Jesus, you died on the cross for me. Now I understand. You had me on your mind that night when you were on the cross saying, 'It is finished.'" He wasn't finished. It is finished. The work of salvation was done in full. There's nothing I can add and there's nothing I can take away from what Jesus did for me. Yes, people do get saved in Boston, Massachusetts, by the way. Well, Open Door Baptist Church was a long haul from where we lived, so we decided to join a church closer to us. We joined Calvary Baptist Church in Dedham, Massachusetts. And we were there for 4 years, serving the Lord faithfully and growing. And at the same time, Tom and I would have the same daily discussions at work, so he was discipling me continuously. Then the Lord started working on our hearts to make a move to Lebanon. Back to Lebanon. Back to where my wife and I came from. Naila and her family came to the States in 1976, so she'd been here 18 years at that time. And God was saying to us, "You have scores of family and friends that don't know that salvation is not by works, that I am the Savior. It's time for both of you to go back and to witness to the family." Tell you what, the numbers were not adding up. I had to take a severe pay cut to be able to go back. It was hard. We did not know how we would make ends meet. But I didn't have to worry about it. He that owns the universe knows how to do it. And he did it. It was hard, but we did it. So anyway, we went. Sam was 3 years old. Tina was 1 year old. And Pamela, who is a yellow jacket, by the way, she doesn't come often to Athens. You know why. It's dangerous territory for her. Pamela was born a couple of months later after we got to Lebanon. And Danny wasn't there yet. And we joined Lebanon Baptist Church, and we were there for 12 years. And we were considered tent maker type missionaries coming from the States. And they considered that we spent 3 terms in that church serving the Lord in there. So my wife and I were involved in many ministries with children, with adults, with a church building and soul winning, and with worship administration also of the church. God used us and we loved it. But I tell you what, it wasn't easy. We had to go through tremendous rejection. Actually, it was tremendous persecution coming first of all from my own dad and from my own mom. It was very hard to see those people that brought you to this world standing between you and Christ and saying, "You need to go back to where you came from." How can you explain? How can you tell them what you see and what you've been through? It was hard. But anyway, we did it. It happened. And the Savior was with us. But we were convinced that no sacrifice was worthy enough of our wonderful Savior. Actually, it was our reasonable service to go through that. In 1998, we moved to Lebanon in 1995. 1998, I was diagnosed with a benign bone tumor in my left arm. I had to undergo 5 surgeries in 5 years. I wasn't sure if I was going to come out of it alive or not. But after the 4th surgery, God gave us Danny. And that day when Naila told me that she was pregnant, I said, "Honey, I don't know about you, but that's a promise that God will give me life." And that's exactly what happened. There was peace in my heart that passeth all understanding. It's difficult to explain, but it happened. And before my youngest son came to life, I knew that I had renewed life again. So God did heal me. And here I am today. So anyway, it happened. Then I was promoted to general manager of the paper mill I worked for. And then things were just great, getting better. Our church over there was on fire for the Lord. Life couldn't be any better. Well, you know how the devil works. 2005, it all started again, another fight. the evil one was given room to act against us. Two of the managers reporting to me, one my brother-in-law, and the other one a close friend who had made a profession of faith with me, betrayed me and robbed the company hundreds of thousands of dollars. It was a shock to me, not because of the loss of money, but because of people that you think that they love you and that they honor you or respect you or care for you, stabbed you in the back. I took a shock. It was a physical shock too, not just emotional. And ended up with a thorn in the flesh. Another one. Well, my health wasn't good. My doctor told me, you either change your lifestyle or you drop dead. It's for you to make a decision now. My wife, I believe that, men, I believe that God moves through our wives. Amen? Okay, so listen to your wife. Well, my wife kept coming to me and say, Nick, I think the Lord wants us to go back to the States. I said, honey, I don't think so. She said, well, why don't you pray about that? I said, okay. Well, through the prayers, she was right. It's hard for me to say that she was right, but she was right. And we found out that the Lord wanted us to come back. We had no idea we're coming back to South Georgia, of all places. You know, for the longest time, I thought Low Country Bowl was B-A-L-L or B-O-W-L. But I found out lately it's B-O-I-L. So I had to learn a fifth language when I got to Savannah. It's been a great blessing. God has blessed us again with a wonderful church, Bethel Baptist Church in Richmond Hill, with a wonderful preacher, wonderful church family. I had a great job God is providing again. But the greatest blessing that I have here today is for God-fearing children. Anyway, I thank God for this church. I thank God for your love for our children. And I thank God that there's a church here in Athens that stands on the King James Bible and on the promises of God, and that is a lighthouse to the world in darkness. I want to tell you something. My objective right now, our objective as a family, is to seek first the kingdom of God. Because everything else will come. But that's what the Bible said. And secondly, my dream, and now it has nothing to do with shoes. My best dream is to hear these beautiful words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful in a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of your Lord. I can't wait to hear those. If you're here today and you haven't made Jesus Christ your personal Savior, I'll tell you what. Hurry up. He's coming back soon. Do you want to be caught by surprise? Or you want to be there waiting for Him when He comes for us? Jesus is the only Savior. There's no other name given unto heaven by which we might be saved. If you're a Christian and you're not redeeming the time, I tell you, please do it immediately. Our Lord, our God, deserves our everything. He gave us our everything. He's everything. Why shouldn't we? Thank you so much for this wonderful time that I had, preacher. Appreciate it.
Amen. Did you feel it? The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, but He also bears witness between our spirits and the spirits of others who are also children of God. Have you noticed that? Have you ever had the experience of just walking by someone and just sensing that that was a believer? It's the most astonishing thing. And as Brother Nick shared this morning, I thought, my, what is happening here is that we are getting a little taste of heaven. Do you understand that heaven is not going to be a national place? It's not going to be an American place. It's going to be a child of God place where people are gathered together from the four corners of the globe, and it's going to be just absolutely astonishing I think we're all going to speak the same language. Brother Nick didn't say it, but now he's come to North Georgia and having to learn a sixth language here. So it just amazes me. Those of you who have studied your Bible and know your Bible would be amazed to know that God had led me to the section of Scripture where Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch are talking. And when Brother Nick said that a part of his testimony about saying, give me a Bible. Do you have a Bible for me? I want to just read the Bible. My heart went back to my studies where I was preparing to speak a little while after he got through. And you remember how the Ethiopian eunuch was sitting in the chariot there in the desert and he was reading the Bible, the scroll of Isaiah. Do you remember that? And it just amazed me, the parallel between our brother sitting there reading his Bible with his wife, just trying to figure out the meaning of the Scripture, how to be saved, what really it meant when Jesus died on the cross. The parallel between that and here 2,000 years ago is this Ethiopian eunuch in his chariot there reading the Bible, trying to figure out what it meant that Jesus died on the cross, and it is the same over 2,000 years. It is the same worldwide. It's the same way that people come to Christ. And there is a wonderful, beyond camaraderie between us, there is a brotherhood and a sisterhood between us. We are family all around the world. And it just absolutely amazes me now. The question comes, if God is powerful enough to do what He does, and for us to see Him working in the lives of a man born in Senegal, reared in Lebanon, living in the United States, back to Lebanon, and God, the Holy Spirit, has no problems with transoceanic travel. He just moves back and forth. In fact, He is over there now, just like He's over here now, just like He's up in Boston now. Somebody got saved in Boston. I didn't think that had happened since Puritan times. But amazing when you think about it. Now, beloved, I'm going to do something that you may never see another Independent Baptist preacher do. I'm going to lay aside my Bible and my sermon this morning, because you've already heard a sermon, haven't you? You've already heard a sermon. And I want to ask you, where did God find you when you woke up this morning? Every morning, along Nick's way, along Nayla's way, every morning God found them somewhere until there came that great morning when Tom, what's his name, was there. Morrell? Tom Morrell was there. And God brought their paths together in this wonderful divine appointment, this divine intersection. May I say to you that this morning may have been your divine intersection. When God brought you face to face with the facts. What are the facts? Fact number one is that every one of us has defied the laws of God. We have told lies. We have worshipped other gods besides the true God. We have been self-righteous and thought, I'm as good as anyone else. We have done sin after sin after sin. Nick mentioned youthful lust with the person, with the man particularly, who got through youth without youthful lust. Would you stand and give a testimony right now? Now the fact is, we are all guilty and we all know it. And something has to happen with those sins. Something, they have to be taken, because no sin goes into heaven. It can't happen. No sin gets into heaven. So something has to happen to those sins. And that's why Jesus came. He came to suffer the full penalty and punishment for those sins, die on the cross. And that's what Nick realized that day. Jesus died and He paid the price for my sins. That's what happened to me. He paid the price for it. And all these rituals that I grew up with, all the being baptized and having the holy water put on me as a child, all the times I took the wafer and the priest went through the transubstantiation process where he turned the wafer into the body of Christ and the wine into the blood of Christ, supposedly. All of that was just bunk. It did no good as far as getting me to heaven. It's not by works of righteousness. Read that, sacraments. It's not by works of righteousness that we've done, but it's according to His mercy. And when you realize that, that Jesus is the only way, and that you're just a sinner and you'll never be able to change yourself, when that hits you in your heart, and you know it, that is the moment of, and it doesn't make any difference where you were raised in a Greek Orthodox background like Nick was, whether you're raised in a Baptist background, until that strikes you, until you realize, I am a sinner. Me, I'll never save myself. I've tried to be good. Nick was so good that his friends thought he was acting like a monk. Good grief. And yet, at the end of it, he said, no, I cannot do it. Here I'm acting like a monk on the outside, but in my heart is youthful lust. Can't you see him there in Boston? And he's in a university situation. And here are all these girls. Y'all notice university girls don't always dress the most modestly in the world. And there he is, and youthful lust strikes. My, my, my. How typical that is. How typical that is. And yet it revealed to him what he was inside, a sinner. Oh, beloved, has there ever been a moment when you did what Nick and Nayla did that day and cast yourself before the Lord and said, Lord, if you don't save me, I will never be saved. Nothing will ever help me except you. You are the only one who died for my sins. If that has never happened with you in the deepest part of your soul, you are lost and on your way to hell. Now, boys and girls, you're up here for a reason. So you could hear that and know that. It doesn't make any difference that you have been brought to this church, you played on the same playground as long as you can remember. It doesn't matter that you've been Patch Club. It doesn't matter that you've been here and everybody said, well, what a good group of young people this is. All that doesn't matter. What matters is that you are a sinner. You are a sinner. Without Jesus, you will not go to heaven. You will go to hell, boys and girls. You understand that? I need to put that plainly. Understand that. Until you throw yourself before Jesus and say, Jesus, I need my sins forgiven. You died for me. You've got to understand that. As does the oldest adult, the teen, the young married, the empty nester. Understand, all that matters not, as it does not matter what nation you were born in. It's all the same, all over. Has that ever happened in your heart? If it's never happened in your heart, face it. Face it. Understand it. I'm going to give an opportunity in just a moment here, in a very short moment, to allow you to come. I'm going to be here. Brother Matt's going to be here. We have ladies here, if there's still a question or two in your mind, who'll be glad to answer your question about it. You say, but you don't understand. When I was a child, they told me to repeat this prayer. If you understood, okay. But if you didn't get it, what good is that? Not any good. So we'll be up here. We'll give you an opportunity. I want you to slip out of your place and say, you know, I believe I need to be saved. That's my problem. I need to have my sins forgiven. And then, oh, believers, listen. You say, I know beyond any doubt that I am a saved person. Have you ever thought about your influence? Is your life a testimony of what a believer should be? See, the thing that got Nick was he met this guy who was the real deal. The real deal. Are you the real deal? You act like it every day? Or do you confuse people? There was this guy, and people, before he got there, already knew about him. His reputation had preceded him. They said, this guy's one of those born-again ones. Wow. Would God that he would say that about all of us. He's one of them. Jesus, Paul wrote, and he said, you're to be a peculiar people. That doesn't mean weird, okay? But he says that you are peculiarly Jesus's. That's the way it's supposed to be. Would you bow your heads just a moment? With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I ask you the same question that Tom asked Nick that day. Are you 100% sure that if you died, you would go to heaven? If you died right now, are you 100% sure? Christians, pray. Are you 100% sure? You can know for sure. We'd love to help you. But really, all it is you coming and casting yourself before the Lord and saying, Lord, I need you. I need your forgiveness. Would you come and do that this morning if you never have? And Christian, these altars are open. If there's a huge gap between what God would have you be and what you are, now's the time to make that right. If a person's been saved but never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, you know you've been saved. I ask you, what are you waiting on? Why would you not want to come out and open for the Lord and confess Him and say, I'm a true believer, and I'll show it by demonstrating that I believe He died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. I'm not a bit ashamed of Him. I mean, are you ashamed of the Lord? With your heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, come upon this meeting now in Jesus' name. Amen.